Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, member by Avram Goldhar, and today Masechus Bamitzia Daf Test. The first parak, Shnei Mochsin. This parak has been dedicated to the memory of Mr. Moshe Horn, Rav Moshe Manas ben Yaakov Yitzchak, by his children, Dvorah and Dov Elias. May his neshama have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on are when it was taught in a brisa, Echad Rachuv Chamor, if one litigant is riding a donkey, Echad Tafus Bo Mosera, and one is holding the bridle, Zekana Chamor, Zekana Mosera. This one acquires the donkey, and this one acquires the bridle. The one that the rider shall also acquire part of the bridle since it's an adornment and considered part of the donkey. Rav Ashi and Hinshi concluded, Zekana Chamor Ubeis Page, this rider acquires the donkey and its headstall, which is the bridle segment over its head, Vizekana Mashitafas Biyadu, and the other one acquires the part of the bridle in his hand, and the rest is not acquired by anyone. Rav Avo suggested that the one holding the bridle acquires all of it without having lifted all of it. Since he can yank the bridle and bring it to himself, he acquires it without doing so. This is rejected by the Gemara, because if so, if half a cloak is lying on a pillar and someone lifts the other half from the ground, he would acquire it since he can yank it off the pillar. Point in which Rabbi Elazar asks, if someone tells a buyer, Mashoch behema zo ukne kelim sha'aleha, draw this animal near and thereby acquire the utensils on it, does he acquire the utensils? Is the mashicha of an animal, which is usually performed by causing it to walk, able to acquire utensils whose mashicha is done by pulling them? This implies that if he were to acquire the animal itself, he would certainly acquire the utensils as well. Rav objects, chatzim mahalechasi, it's a traveling chatzir, but chatzim mahalechas lukana, and a traveling chatzir does not acquire. Even if it was stationary, it is invalid as a chatzir since it's able to move, and thus different from one's hand, which is the source of chatzir. The one answers Rav Elazar's case was bekfusa, where the animal was bound and could not move. Rava was asked that if a traveling chatzir could not acquire, then if hefker fish jump onto someone's boat, would he not acquire them? He replied, the boat is at rest, umayahu dekamamtila, and it's the water which moves it, so it's not considered a traveling chatzir. Rav Ashi said the same regarding a get thrown into a basket carried on a woman's head. And point number three was stated in the Mishnah that if someone gathered peah and said, harzo leploni ani, this is hereby for Ploni the poor man. Eliezer says the poor man acquires it, but the Chachamim say, yitnenu la'ani hanimtza rishon, he should give it to the first available poor man, because the ani did not acquire the peah. Ula said the Machlokas concerns a rich man who is ineligible for peah, acquiring on behalf of an ani. Eliezer holds, migu the boy mafkir nichsei, since if he wants, he can be mafkir's possessions, rendering him an ani, and entitled to collect peah for himself, hashtanami chazilei. Now too, while he's still wealthy, peah is considered theoretically appropriate for him. And since one can acquire it for himself, he can also acquire it for his fellow the ani, although he cannot currently take peah. The Chachamim respond, Chad migu amrin. We can say one since argument, Trei migu lo amrin, but we cannot say two since arguments because his eligibility for peah is two steps removed. However, the Chachamim agree that an ani can acquire peah on another ani's behalf since he can acquire it for himself. So once again, the 3 points are number one. It was taught in a braisa, Echad rachuv chamor, if one litigant is riding a donkey, Ve'echad tafus bo mosera, and one is holding the bridle, Zekana chamor, ve'zekana mosera. This one acquires the donkey, and this one acquires the bridle. The one says that the rider shall also acquire part of the bridle since it's an adornment and considered part of the donkey. Rav Ashi and Hinshi concluded, Zekana chamor ubeis page, this rider acquires the donkey and its headstall, which is the bridle segment over its head, Ve'zekana mashitafus biyadu, and the other one acquires the part of the bridle in his hand, and the rest is not acquired by anyone. Rav Avo suggested that the one holding the bridle acquires all of it without having lifted all of it. Since he can yank the bridle and bring it to himself, he acquires it without doing so. This is rejected by the Gemara, because if so, if half a cloak is lying on a pillar and someone lifts the other half from the ground, he would acquire it since he can yank it off the pillar. Point in which Rav Elazar asks, if someone tells a buyer, Mashoch behema zo ukne kelim sha'aleha, draw this animal near and thereby acquire the utensils on it, does he acquire the utensils? Is the mashicha of an animal, which is usually performed by causing it to walk, able to acquire utensils whose mashicha is done by pulling them? This implies that if he were to acquire the animal itself, he would certainly acquire the utensils as well. Rav objects, chatzim mahalechasi, it's a traveling chatzir, but chatzim mahalechas lukana, and a traveling chatzir does not acquire. Even if it was stationary, it is invalid as a chatzir since it's able to move, and thus different from one's hand, which is the source of chatzir. The one answers Rav Elazar's case was bekfusa, where the animal was bound and could not move. Rava was asked that if a traveling chatzir could not acquire, then if hefker fish jump onto someone's boat, would he not acquire them? He replied, the boat is at rest, umayahu dekamamtila, and it's the water which moves it, so it's not considered a traveling chatzir. Rav Ashi said the same regarding a get thrown into a basket carried on a woman's head. And point number three, was stated in the Mishnah that if someone gathered paya and said, Harzo l'ploni ani, this is hereby for Ploni the poor man. Eliezer says the poor man acquires it, but the Chachamim say, Yinenu l'ani hanimsa rishon, he should give it to the first available poor man, because the ani did not acquire the paya. Ula said the Machlokas concerns a rich man who is ineligible for paya, acquiring on behalf of an ani. Eliezer holds, Migu the boy mafkir nichse, since if he wants, he can be mafkir's possessions, rendering him an ani, and entitled to collect paya for himself, hashtanami chazilei. Now too, while he's still wealthy, paya is considered theoretically appropriate for him. Omega de Zaki Lanavshi, and since one can acquire it for himself, Zaki Namu Chavri, he can also acquire it for his fellow the Ani, although he cannot currently take Peah. The Chachamim respond, Chad Migu Amrin, we can say one since argument, Trey Migu Lo Amrin, but we cannot say two since arguments, because his eligibility for Peah is two steps removed. However, the Chachamim agree that an Ani can acquire Peah on another Ani's behalf, since he can acquire it for himself. All right, so now we got our Simon Daf test, and our standard Simon is a teapot, because a test is a T sound for a teapot, and also a test sort of looks like a teapot. So here goes. The man drinking tea while holding onto the bridle of the donkey as he rode it, while another man held the bridle as he led it, told the man doing Mashiach of a donkey that he didn't acquire the box of teapots it was carrying because the donkey is a Chatzim Mahaleches, which belonged to a wealthy man who just tried to acquire Peah for his friend, who was poor. Once again, slow motion. The man drinking tea, that must be on Daf Tess, teapot. The man drinking tea while holding onto the bridle of the donkey as he rode it, while another man held the bridle, which reminds us it was taught in the Braisa, Echad Rachub Chamor, if one litigant is riding a donkey, Echad Tafus B'Mosera, and one is holding the bridle, this one acquires the donkey and this one acquires the bridle. The Gemara asks that the rider should also acquire part of the bridle since it's an adornment and considered part of the donkey. Rav Ashi eventually concluded that this rider acquires a donkey and its headstall, which is the bridle segment over its head, v'zeh kana mashatavas b'yado, and the other one acquires the part of the bridle in his hand, and the rest is not acquired by anyone. So the man drinking tea while holding onto the bridle of the donkey as he rode it, while another man held the bridle as he led it, told the man doing Mashiach of a donkey that he didn't acquire the box of teapots it was carrying because the donkey is a Chatzim Mahaleches. Which reminds us, we learn that if someone does Mashiach of a donkey, he does not acquire the Kalim on it because a donkey is a Chatzim Mahaleches, a traveling Chatzir, and even if it's stationary, it's invalid as a Chatzir since it's able to move and thus different from one's hand, which is the source for the Kinyan of a Chatzir. So the man drinking tea while holding onto the bridle of the donkey as he rode it, while another man held the bridle as he led it, told the man doing Mashiach of a donkey that he didn't acquire the box of teapots it was carrying because the donkey is a Chatzim Mahaleches, which belonged to a wealthy man who just tried to acquire paya for his friend, who was poor. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a Malchokas, whether a wealthy person can acquire paya on behalf of an ani, and whether we say to Migos, we say, since if he wants, he can be Mafkir's possessions, rendering him an ani, and entitled to collect paya for himself, Hashanami Chazilei, therefore now too, while he's still wealthy, pay is considered theoretically appropriate for him, Omigu de Zaki Lanavshi, and since he can acquire it for himself, Zaki Nami Lachabre, he can also acquire it for his fellow the ani, although he cannot currently take paya. So once again, the man drinking tea while holding onto the bridle of the donkey as he rode it, while another man held the bridle as he led it, told the man doing Mashiach of a donkey that he didn't acquire the box of teapots it was carrying because the donkey is a Chatzim Mahaleches, which belonged to a wealthy man who just tried to acquire paya for his friend, who was poor. All right, so now it's time for Forbala Ba Chazara. Daf Hay. So the Simmer Daf Hay is a haystack. So here goes. The shepherd was seen hiding behind a haystack. Haystack? That must be one Daf Hay. The shepherd was seen hiding behind a haystack, eating two animals two owners had given him, without aiding present, which reminds us the Gemara records an incident of a shepherd, to whom people usually gave their animals in front of aiding, but one day gave them without aiding present. He later denied having received them, but Adim testified that they saw him eating two of the animals. Rabbi Zera said that if we rule like Rabbi Chiya's first law, that one swears when a claim is partially substantiated by witnesses, then the shepherd would have to swear regarding the remaining claim. Abai asked him, how can he swear? But he's a proven thief and disqualified from swearing. Rabbi Zera responded that he meant his opponent, the plaintiff, swears to collect payment, which is the rabbinically enacted law when the defendant is disqualified from swearing. So the shepherd was seen hiding behind a haystack eating two animals two owners had given him without aiding present. Surprisingly, he used bales of hay as a fence to prevent sheep he was given to watch from grazing in other people's fields, and told his friend who was baling hay that just because people may suspect he steals, they should not suspect he swears falsely, which reminds us Rabbi Yochanan taught that the Shavuot of the Mishnah was enacted to discourage people from seizing other people's cloaks and claiming them. The Gemara asks, "V'neima migu d'chashid amamono chashinama ashvasa." Let us say that since he's suspect in monetary matters, he's also suspect regarding swearing. Meaning, one who's prepared to steal would also swear falsely. The Gemara responds that we do not say migud chashid mamono chashid ashvuasa, because people are more hesitant to swear falsely than to steal. Daf vav. So the siman daf vav is a sword because a vav is straight, like a sword. So here goes. The sword collector, sword. That must be more in daf vav, sword. The sword collector who grabbed someone's cloak because he had a suffolk whether he had lent the person money to buy a sword, which reminds us, Abai disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan and holds that one who would steal outright would also swear falsely. Therefore, he explains differently why two people grasping a cloak must swear. We suspect that one has a suffolk milvah yeshana, a questionable old loan against his fellow, which he's not entitled to collect, so a shavu is imposed to dissuade him. So the sword collector who grabbed someone's cloak because he had a suffolk whether he had lent the person money to buy a sword was astonished when he ran into Basin and saw one man grab a tullis in dispute right in front of the Dayanim, and the other party initially said nothing, which reminds us, Rabbi Zera said, Takfa echad b'fenein hu mahu. If one grabbed the cloak from the other before us, meaning the Dayanim, what is the halacha? The Gemara clarifies that if his counterpart was silent and did not protest, he effectively admitted the cloak belongs to the one who grabbed it. If he did protest, then the grabbing is inconsequential and they still split it. Rather, the case is the Shasik Mikar of Hadut Sabach, where he was initially silent and later cried out in protest. Do we interpret his initial silence as an admission that the cloak is not his, or, since he ultimately protested, it indicates that his initial silence was because the judges saw the other litigant grab it, so he didn't feel the need to protest? So, the sword collector who grabbed someone's cloak because he had a suffolk whether he had lent the person money to buy a sword was astonished when he ran into Basin and saw one man grab a tallis in dispute right in front of the Dayanim, and the other party initially said nothing. Followed by a kohen with a long shechita knife that looked like a sword, grabbing a suffolk bechor was permitted to keep it, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a sugya of takfa kohen, where a kohen grabbed a suffolk bechor and was permitted to keep it. Dav Zayin. So the siman Dav Zayin is a kli zayin, a weapon, and we use a gun. So here goes. While one arm guarded the basin, had two people clutching onto different parts of a talus, way in the front of the line to be seen. Which reminds us, Rav Tachlifa of Eretz Yisrael taught a brisa, Shnaim Adukim Betalus. If two litigants are clutching a cloak, each claiming ownership, this one takes as far as his hand reaches, as does the other, and the rest of the cloak is divided evenly. Rabbi Avahu indicated that they must swear. So while one arm guard of the basin had two people clutching onto different parts of a talus, waiting the front of the line to be seen, followed by a debtor and creditor clutching onto a shtar, where the debtor admitted he wrote the shtar, but claims he repaid it, which reminds us it was taught in the Braisa, Shnaim Adukim B'shtar, if two people, a creditor and debtor, are clutching a document of debt, and the creditor says it's his, and he lost it and subsequently found it, and the debtor says that although the document is authentic, he already paid the debt and was given the shtar and later lost it, Rebbe says, Yiskaim HaShtar B'chosma, the document must be certified through its signatures as being authentic. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Yochaloku, they should divide the debt equally. So, while one arm guard of the basin had two people clutching onto different parts of a talus, waiting in the front of the line to be seen, followed by a debtor and creditor clutching onto a shtar, where the debtor admitted he wrote the shtar but claims he repaid it, the other arm guard found a shtar certified with a hempik and wasn't sure if he should return it to the lender because of a concern that it was already paid, which reminds us. The Braisa continued, Nafal Yadayin, if the shtar fell into a judge's hand, the Tanakhama says, Uyotzi Olamis, the litigants can never retrieve it. Rabbi Yossi says, Haru Becheskaso, it remains in its status as a valid shtar. Rav explains this means that someone found the shtar which was certified with a henpeck by a judge. The Braisa teaches that not only where the shtar was not certified, where the loan may never have been issued, but even where it was certified and the loan was made, it is still not returned to the lender, the Chayshin L'Perion, because we're concerned about possible payment by the borrower. Rabbi Yossi says the shtar is returned to the lender and we're not concerned it was paid. Dav Ches. So the siman Dav Ches is Chala. So here goes. The two men who lifted the ends of a giant chasna chala, that must be more on Dav Ches. The two men who lifted the ends of a giant chasna chala that was lost, having in mind that both acquire it, which reminds us, in the case of two people picking up a cloak, it must be that each party lifted it, so both should acquire it, and such an acquisition is effective. So the entire cloak is lifted and acquired for both. Rav argues that even if one cannot acquire something for another person, here is different. Migo de Zachi Lanavshe, since he's acquiring for himself, Zachi Namu Lechavre, he acquires for his fellow as well. Since the kinyan is effective for himself, it's also effective for his friend. Rav approves this principle from the fact that if a shaliach steals on someone's behalf, the sender is exempt, yet if he steals for himself and his partner, they're both liable. So the two men who lifted the ends of a giant chasna chala that was lost, having in mind that both acquire it, before it almost got stepped on by a man leading a lost animal that another man was riding, which reminds us, the Gemara explains, in the case of a rider and a leader of a donkey, Rabbi Yehuda was uncertain if a rider acquires in the presence of a leader. Is the rider's kinyan superior, the tavi's bay, because he's holding it, or is the leader's kinyan superior because the animal moves because of him? So the two men who lifted the ends of a giant chasnokha that was lost, having in mind that both acquire it, before it almost got stepped on by a man leading a lost animal that another man was riding, overheard the man leading the animal say, holding the bridle of a lost animal does not acquire it, whereas holding a bridle when acquiring from another does, which reminds us, Rav Huna said, Moser mechavero kana, if one holds a bridle when acquiring from his fellow, he acquires it, but when acquiring a found animal or the possessions of a ger who died without heirs, he does not acquire it. He explained the meaning of the word Moser, ka adam ha-mosu dabo ha-chavero, like a person who transfers something to his fellow. This explains Rav Huna's distinction, because although one acquires an animal from his fellow by receiving its bridle, the kamasu lechavre, because his fellow transfers it to him, but regarding acquiring hefker with a bridle, man kamasu ledelikne, who transfers it to him that he can acquire it. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do we learn that when two people are holding onto a talus at different parts, they take as far as their hand reaches and the rest is split evenly? That's on Dove. Zion. Good. Number two, which stuff do we discuss acquiring a bridle held by a rider and someone also holding its end? That's on Duff. Test. Good. Number three, which of the one in the case of two people picking up a lost cloak, we say, Migu de Zachi Nafshe, since he's acquiring it for himself, Zachi Namu Lechavre, he acquires it for his fellow as well. That's on Duff. Chess. Good. Number four, which Duff do Malko is about swearing by Halach? Here, it's yours. That's on Duff. Dalad. Good. Number five, which something learned about doing Mashiach of an animal and the person does not acquire the utensils on it because the animal is a chatzim halachas, as on Dav? Test. Good. Number six, which stuff do the case of the shepherd who was caught eating two of the sheep in his care, that's on Dav? Hey. Good. Number seven, which something learned Rabbi Chiyo holds one swears when part of a debt is established by aiding based on a kal vachomer, that's on Dav? Gimel. Good. Number eight, which duff to give machokas whether a wealthy person can acquire peah on behalf of an ani? That's on duff. Task. Good. Number nine, which duff to discuss what the din is if one grabbed the disputed talus in front of the dayanim and the other litigant initially was silent and then later protested? That's on duff. Vav. Good. Number ten, which duff to discuss what the din is when a debtor and a creditor are both clutching a shtar? That's on duff. Zion. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Ram Goldhar from Zurich, Virginia. Great day and great learning.